Welcome to Grace Point Church. We're glad you're here this morning, that you've taken time to come and be with us, and look forward to our time together to worship. So welcome to Grace Point Church. I want to read a verse for you this morning from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 19. And it says this: "So then, may we pursue the things of peace and the things of building up one another." We're going to talk today about spiritual bridge building. And part of that includes, as Paul said here, building up one another. Would you pray with me, please? God, we come here today to take time away of our lives just to come here and say, God, first of all, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your grace. And as we come, Lord, we come first and foremost to worship you, to realize that without you and your grace, we wouldn't even exist. And so, Lord, from our hearts and our minds, whether we're full of joy or we're going through a sorrowful time, accept our worship. And Father, speak to us. Let us hear your voice. Prepare us to respond the way you want us to respond. We ask these things together in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to show you a picture and see if it looks familiar to you. You remember seeing that? On Tuesday, March 26th, a pier supporting the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, was struck by the loaded container ship Dolly, who was leaving the port of Baltimore. It was completed in 1977. The Key Bridge carried 35 million vehicles annually as part of the 695 Beltway around Baltimore. Yes, I and Libby together have driven on that bridge. It was an extremely important bridge for the city and for the residents. No more. In contradiction to that catastrophic event, look at this bridge, our own Arthur Ravenel Bridge. The bridge in Charleston, South Carolina, has an average 96,300 vehicles per day crossing that bridge. The bridge was designed to handle 100,000 vehicles per day, so all we need is 3,700 more snowbirds to come down, start traveling the bridge, and we'll be at max capacity. Hey, I'm a snowbird. I was from Baltimore. I get it. No hurt feelings intended. Today, I want to talk about bridges. I want to talk about spiritual bridge building. If you have your bulletins, get your outlines out. You can follow along as we go. Talk about spiritual bridge building. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, Jesus Christ is the bridge between God and man. Now, a bridge is something that spans a gap and therefore allows a person to get from where they were to where they want to be. That's what Jesus has done for us. Jesus is the bridge between us and God. And God calls us ourselves then to be bridge builders with people so we can let them know about God's love and grace and forgiveness and about his plan and purpose for their lives. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 5, verse 11. He said, "Now we rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done in dying for our sins, making us," underline those last few words, "making us friends of God." If I were to summarize Christianity in one word, I wouldn't use the word religion. I wouldn't use the word ritual or rules. I would use the word relationship. Because God wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with you. And the fact is, life is essentially about relationships. The most important thing in your life is not money, status, success, pleasure, fame. It's people. There's only two problems with relationships with people. One, relationships are fragile. Would you agree with that? They can be fragile. They can be damaged easily, so they have to be cultivated and nurtured. The second problem is nobody teaches us how to do that. We just grow up and think, well, this is what we're going to do and do it well, and many times that's not how it works out. Now, as a believer, as a Christian, what should our relationship be with people who don't accept Christ the way we do, the way I do? How do we relate to folks who are different from us in our faith? Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. God has restored our relationship with him through Christ, and he has given to us this ministry of restoring relationships. Underline those last few words. The ministry, or the work, of restoring relationships. Folks, once you become a Christian, when you become a believer, you have a new life assignment. You are given a ministry, a work of restoring relationships. You are to become a spiritual bridge builder. God has restored the relationship to us through his son Jesus, and he expects us to help restore relationships with other people who don't yet know Jesus. That's what he calls us to do. Folks, listen, the greatest thing you could ever do in your life, by far the greatest thing you could ever do in your life, is to take some person that you know, family member, maybe was a someone you didn't know, work with, to find some way to take this person from not knowing Jesus to knowing Jesus. You will never do anything greater in your life than being an instrument of leading someone to a faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, folks, we have the greatest news in the world to share. All my sins can be forgiven. I get a new purpose for living. I get a home in heaven. God becomes my friend. What could be better? What could be better is to know that you've helped someone else settle their eternal destiny. There's no greater achievement in life, no greater epitaph than he or she was a bridge builder for Jesus. Now, one of the problems of believers is that we often forget that most of the people around us aren't believers yet. They need to hear the good news. So today I want to give you 6 principles for building relationships. How do you build relationships with people who are different than you spiritually, different than you in their faith? How do you build those relationships so you can help lead them to Jesus? How do you do that? Let me give you 6 ways. Number one, the first thing you can do is become proactive. Become proactive. Take the initiative in building friendships with people. Jesus said it this way in Luke 6:31. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Take the initiative. Don't wait for someone to make the first move. Many times people are not going to come to you and say, hey, I'm lost. I don't know God. I'm not sure where I'm going to end up one day. So I just want to come to you and ask you to tell me. They're not going to do that. You have to be proactive. You have to be the one that reaches out. One thing that's for sure is everyone wants friends, but very few people know how to make them. You go to a party with strangers there, everybody's desperately wanting to talk to somebody, and everybody's afraid to make the first move. They don't want to be the one that reaches out. They don't know how to do it. And if you're like me, a bona fide card-carrying introvert, parties, I can't do it. My mantra is, let's be social with others by ourselves in our own homes. That's what I want to do. We'll have a club meeting tonight for us introverts in our own homes. Don't call me. I'm going to be there. The Bible calls us to be a bridge builder. Take the initiative, even if you feel uncomfortable. You reach out to your neighbor, your employee, your coworker, a family member. You make the first move because you love God too much and you love people too much not to. Today, many people are afraid of being hurt. They don't want to be conned. They don't want to be manipulated. They don't want to be used. And in order to build friendships today, you have to meet people more than halfway. You have to take the initiative. You have to go the second or third mile. That's how you earn trust in order to build relationships. I saw a bumper sticker years ago that said, "Friends don't let friends drive drunk." You've seen that, right? I want somebody to make one that says, "Friends don't let friends miss heaven." We care enough to be proactive even if we're not comfortable. We care more about where they spend their eternal destiny than how we feel a little inhibited about sharing the good news with them. If you care, you've got to become proactive. You take the first step in building relationships to people who are around you, and God will bless that effort. God will put people in your life. He will put people in your path so that you can come to them and share with them. Be proactive. Number two, not only must we be proactive, we must refuse to wear a mask. We refuse to wear a mask. You want to build strong relationships with anybody, whether it's your husband, wife, children, believers, coworkers, people, maybe even strangers you don't know, maybe to the same clerk at the grocery store you go to all the time and you know their name. You want to build relationships with them, then you need to take your mask off and just become real. Drop your guard. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, "We can say with confidence and a clear conscience that we have been honest and sincere in all our dealings." Underline those words, honest and sincere. If you are honest and sincere, the mask that we hide behind comes off. And we just become the person of who we are, who God is trying to make us into. That's what builds relationships, folks. That's what builds friendships. Honesty, sincerity, dropping your mask, being real, being authentic. Now, sometimes we say, "Well, I don't want people to know some stuff about me." Listen, I've got a secret for you. It's a secret. I don't want to shock anybody. But I want to tell you this secret. Everybody already knows you're not perfect. Shh, secret. Everybody already knows we're in the same boat. So why pretend? Why do we go somewhere and put on this "I got it all together" mask? No one wants to be around somebody who thinks they have it all together, because we know they don't. You know how come we know they don't? Because we don't either. Nobody has it all together, folks. We're imperfect. Why don't we just quit kidding ourselves and trying to pretend that we're somebody we're not? We need to get off our little pedestals and become real to everybody else around us. Don't pretend. Authentic, being your authentic self, attracts people. It takes down their walls when they see you've taken yours down. Be proactive, throw the masks off. And number three, identify common ground with people. If you want to build a relationship with someone, you've got to identify some common ground that you have with that individual. Discover what you might have in common. It might just be a little bit. It could be something significant. Paul teaches us to find common ground. In 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9, verse 22, here's what Paul said. He said, "Whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him." Underline those three words, find common ground. How do you do that? How do you find something that you and somebody else have in common? How can you identify something and let them see something? Hey, we have this little bit that's kind of the same about us. It's common ground. Because when you're talking to a stranger or somebody that you just don't know very well, or maybe even a friend, and you don't have a whole lot in common, it's hard to hold a conversation. But if you can find one thing that you have in common, and it doesn't mean you have to have it exactly like that, just something in common. You like to eat? I like to eat. Find something you have in common. Paul did this, and I thought it was just an ingenious way for the apostle to find something in common with a bunch of sinners. Now, Paul, the Bible tells us, was a sinner, and the Bible says he was like the worst of them, right? Paul got saved. His life was changed by Jesus. While he was in the city of Thessalonica, the Bible tells us this. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. He said, "People of Athens, I see that you're very religious." Oh, there's a commonality, right? Paul, he's religious. The people in Thessalonica are religious. Doesn't mean they were Christian, but they were religious. He said, "As I was going through your city and looking at the things you worship, I found an altar with the words, 'To an unknown God.' You worship this God, but you don't really know him. So I want to tell you about him." You see what Paul did? He could have taken his religiosity and said, "Hey, I know Jesus. My life has changed. You're sinners. You worship idols. Just to cover your bases, you put an idol up here that said, 'If we missed someone, here's the idol to the unknown God, in case we missed one.'" Paul could have ripped them to shreds with theological language, but he didn't. He said, "Hey, I'm a Jesus follower. You don't even know who you're following, but we have common ground. You're looking for some answer in your lives. I was looking for some answer in my life." And he found common ground. Find common ground. How do you do that? How do you find common ground with someone maybe you don't know too well? Let me give you one word. Listen. Close the trap. Shut up. And listen. There's a song, I don't know where it came from. I don't even know how it got on my radio. Whatever I do, I listen to my car. I don't mean it's way beyond me. And I guess it was an older song. I make Libby listen to it now. And it's just a song, da da da. And then the words come in, "Shut up and dance with me." You ever heard that song? Some of you? I thought I was the only one. I love it. This guy's trying to do this, and it just, "Shut up and dance with me. To listen, you just need to hush. Ask a question, tell me about yourself, and be quiet. People will talk. And typically they'll feel most comfortable talking about themselves or their family. Just, what can I do? Listen." Very few people are listeners. The New York City phone company did a study some time ago and discovered the number one word people use in conversations on the phone is the word "I." And if you're using the word "I," you're not listening, you're talking. We're telling people about ourselves. Just listen. Soji Morimoto lives in Japan, and he advertises himself as a person who will spend time with you, but nothing more. In 3 years, he has had thousands of clients who pay him to do nothing but listen. Morimoto says most people are bored or lonely. They don't have people around them who care for them, and they just want someone who will listen. Folks, nobody is an island unto themselves. Human beings develop socially poorly and badly when they're isolated from other people. We were made to be social people. In Barcelona, 26-year-old Andrea Ballester set up two chairs, one that he sat in and the other one empty, and he had a sign that read, "Free Conversations." Anyone who wanted to could stop and sit there and chat with him about anything. And you know what he would do? 3 of you have been listening to me. Nice. Ballester said, "At times I feel like a therapist. I hear positive stories and tough ones too. A 70-year-old Lithuanian woman talked about the years she spent in a Russian concentration camp. Others tell me about the love of their life, their grandchildren." And all he does is listen. And when you listen and they tell you things, you discover some common ground. If you can't find common ground with someone, chances are you're not listening. Once you've identified that common ground by listening, use that to build the bridge, to strengthen the relationship, to establish what you have in common. Hey, listen, if he says, "Man, I really like football," and you really don't like football, say, "Well, I enjoy sports too. Tell me about your favorite one." "Well, it's football." And then just let him talk. You're a Clemson fan? Let him talk about USC. You a Carolina fan? Let him talk about Clemson. And I don't mean like this. Talk about places you've been to eat and you find out they like to cook. Just ask them, "Tell me, what's your favorite meal that you like to prepare?" And then do what? Listen. Just listen. You'll find things that give you that common ground. The same thing that Paul did when he saw the idol to an unknown God. That is irreligious. He said, "Well, I want to tell you about him. We have something in common. Let me tell you who I didn't know was the God, Jesus, and let me tell you about him now." Establish, find common ground. If you can't find something proactively common, know this: everybody has problems. Maybe you just say, "Hey, it sounds like you're struggling. Tell me about that." And then what? Shut up and listen. Don't be leaving here telling people my pastor told me to shut up. Be proactive. Get rid of your mask. Be real. Find common ground, listen to people, and number 4, demonstrate God's love. Demonstrate God's love. In order to build a bridge to people, we have to demonstrate God's love to them. Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 5. "Live a life filled with love for others and following the example of Christ." Our goal, folks, is to be like Jesus and remember how he served others. He served others in the context of love, and we need to do the same. 1 John 3:17 puts it this way: "Let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it how? By our actions." The Bible doesn't say, "Just say I love you." It says, "Demonstrate it. Do it. Give an example of it. Now, how do we do that? You do it by meeting three of the most essential needs of every individual. I believe everyone has three basic needs, and when you meet these needs, you're demonstrating love. First of all, everybody needs acceptance. Fill that in. I'm going to tell you what they all three are, then explain this. Everybody needs acceptance. Everybody needs affirmation. And everybody needs assistance. Acceptance, affirmation, assistance. These are ways you can demonstrate God's love. First of all, everybody needs acceptance. You demonstrate love to them when you accept people just as they are. Sometimes we as Christians think people should clean up their lives before we accept them. That's not what Jesus did. You accept them as they are in a non-judgmental type of love. That's what God did for you, and that's what God did for me. And you say, Pastor, you don't understand the people I work with or my family members or my relatives. They're so messed up. They're into a lifestyle that's not healthy, and they have habits that I don't agree with. You need to understand the difference between acceptance and approval. You can accept someone without approving of everything they do. You can love them and not condone what they do. You can walk hand in hand with somebody, folks, without seeing eye to eye. That's what Jesus did for us. He modeled it. Jesus accepted everyone. That doesn't mean he liked everything that people did. The religious people of Jesus' day couldn't stand the fact that he hung out with people that were sinners. They called him, as a matter of fact, they called Jesus a friend of sinners. I believe Jesus wore that as a badge of honor. He hung out with people like the lepers, the prostitutes, the cheating tax collectors, and he showed them unconditional love and acceptance. You can accept someone and not approve of their lifestyle. You can accept someone without agreeing on everything that they're doing or not doing. Everybody needs acceptance. If you're going to build a friendship, it starts by accepting someone right where they are. I'm grateful that that's what God did for me, because before I became a Christian, I could tell you stories about my life that you would think I'm making up. And God met me right where I was. He didn't make me get my life cleaned up first. He took me in. He accepted me, just like he does for you. The second way you show God's love is by affirming them. Everybody needs support. We need emotional support, relational support. We need spiritual support. And I've discovered that everybody at some point in time is having a hard time. Some people are having a hard time emotionally, maybe financially or physically, some vocationally. Everybody at some point is having a hard time. And when you're there for your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, and they're in a crisis, in an illness, maybe a death in the family, maybe they have a big disappointment they've just experienced, they're having a conflict, if you are there for them, you just sit with them, you are building a bridge. When you affirm them and give them emotional support, when you're genuinely caring about them, you are building a bridge. You accept them, you affirm them, and third, you help them by assisting them. You build that bridge by assisting them. That's how you demonstrate genuine love. Everybody needs practical love. Sometimes you can build a bridge to a friend or a neighbor, an acquaintance, by offering practical assistance. You know somebody who's just got out of the hospital, just go over there and say, well, here's our brother. Don't ask them, what can I bring you? Don't ask them, because no person's going to say, oh, yeah, wait on me. Don't ask, just take them something. Even if they don't like it, they'll appreciate it. Don't ask somebody, well, what can I do for you while you're going to be gone in the hot? Just do it. Go mow their lawn. When you do things for people, when you assist them, you are building that bridge, that relationship to them in a way that will allow you, they at some point will allow you to tell them about Jesus. Number five, another way you become a spiritual bridge builder is by giving credence to people's feelings and fears. Give credence to people's feelings and fears. Give validity to people's feelings and fears. You need to realize that when you share good news or when you invite somebody to church, that when people are resistant or slow about that, the number one fear or the number one reason is fear. And it could be any kind of fear. It could be the fear of, what if Jesus turns me into some religious nut? Man, if I go to that church, maybe they want to make me a fanatic. What if I commit to it and then I find out later it's not true? What if it's too hard and I want to back out? What if I lose my friends because I've got religion? What if I stop having fun? I got to give that stuff up. It's no fun being a Christian. And these are fears. We consider them misconceptions. That's true. They're misconceiving. They're not understanding what the Bible really says. But they have fears. Acknowledge their fears. Be sympathetic. Be patient with people. Give God time to act. So when they start telling you about their fears, what are you going to do? Thank you. Two people are with me. Listen. Romans 15:2, Paul writes this. For we must bear the burden of being considerate of the doubts and fears of others. That's a really strange verse to me. So if we want to be considerate of people's doubts and fears, it's like bearing a burden. How? How can it be burdensome if we listen to people's fears and their doubts? The only thing I can think of is because we know the truth. The truth has set us free, and I have a hard time believing that people would never want that. And so if they give me all these excuses, I've already worked through all of that, and it becomes burdensome to me. But because God is working in their life, we listen. We say, you know what? I felt like that before. Or better yet, you know what? I don't understand what that means. I've not experienced that. Can you tell me what you mean by that? And then what do you do? Oh, six more. We're going to get it. Going to get it. This side's doing better than this side, I'll say that. Folks, be considerate. You don't argue anybody into heaven. You love them into heaven. When you've got a little egg with a chick inside, and you know that little chick is still forming and he's getting ready to come out, he's been there long enough. A couple of ways you can get that chick out. One, you can take a hammer and smash the egg. Not a good way to go. The other way is to take that egg, put it in a warm environment, and just wait. And that's what God wants us to do. Find a warm environment where people begin to feel comfortable, and we're being proactive. We're also waiting for God to work on that person. Before you know it, maybe they come to know Jesus as their Savior. Surround people with the warmth and God's love. Love them, serve them, sacrifice for them. Be authentic. Just let them know, hey, I don't have it all together either, but I know Jesus is the answer, and I want to share him with you. Then watch them hatch. And number six, you need to expect God to use you. Expect God to use me. You need to expect God to use you. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was one of the greatest preachers ever in human history. He lived in the early to mid 1800s. He actually died in 1892. He was called the Prince of Preachers. He was phenomenal. And one person came to Spurgeon one day and he said, I marvel, I'm envious at the people who come to your church every week, and every week people are joining your church. Every week people are giving their hearts and lives to Jesus. Every week this is happening. And young preacher said, maybe his was like that, maybe once a month. And Spurgeon said to him, you don't really expect people to join your church every week, do you? And the pastor said, no. And Spurgeon said, that's your problem. You've got to expect God to use you. You say, if I get serious about building bridges to unbelievers, I won't know what to say. You know what you know? Do you know what you say to someone when they get in a conversation and you don't know what to say? Do you know what you say? I don't know what to say to that. I don't know how to respond. If you do that, you're taking off your mask. You're being genuine with them. In fact, you probably don't want to make some kind of canned speech that sounds like a sales job. Let God guide you. Let God give you some hints. Jesus promised this to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. He said this, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. Did you hear that? Don't worry. I don't know what to say. I don't know. I don't know how to say it. Don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. That takes the pressure off. When we put pressure on ourselves because we don't know what to say, that's not of God. We just say, all right, God. A lot of times people want to come to the pastors, one of our pastors, and maybe me as a teaching pastor, and say, Pastor, what do I say? I don't know. No, really, what do I say? God will lead you. We say, well, I haven't heard him yet. That's because he hadn't said anything yet. Just listen. Just listen. When it's time, God will say something through you, and you will be amazed. You'll be amazed at the thrill that comes knowing that God is using you to take someone from darkness to the light, ushering them into heaven. How does that happen? You need to make yourself available. You need to make yourself available. Three words, God, use me. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm willing to be used by you, God. You've put around my life people to whom I need to build a spiritual bridge. God, use me. A while ago, George Gallup took a survey and discovered that 70 million Americans have no church home. The sad thing, maybe the most amazing thing about that survey, is that 50% of the people he surveyed said, I'd go if someone would ask me. That tells me one thing we can say to people, want to go to church? Want to go to three or four words. If it's proper English, would you like to go to church with me this Sunday? Want to go to church? Ask them. Folks, I hope you individually as a believer, and I hope our church will always be building spiritual bridges to people. Maybe you need to start with an apology to a family member, to a neighbor, to a coworker, and say, hey, you know, I've wanted to tell you about part of my life, and I wanted to invite you to church, and I haven't done it, and I just want to tell you I'm sorry for waiting this long. You know, when you give an apology to somebody, you know what they're going to do? Listen. And from that, from humility, you begin to share with them. And who knows? Who knows what God will do? You want to be a spiritual bridge builder? Somebody was that one day to you. It's time for us to be that for somebody else. Let's pray together. God, thank you for our worship time today and for giving us your word. Lord, there are people all around us with whom we could build spiritual bridges. And forgive us, God, for the times that we haven't done it. Forgive us for the excuses that we make. And thank you for teaching us through your word today some of the ways we can build spiritual bridges to people who need to know you. Maybe they're not believers yet, God, and they need to be saved. Maybe they're believers who've gotten away from you. Help us to build spiritual bridges. And Lord, do that in a lot of ways. Teach us to listen. Help us to be proactive. Help us to have that common ground and to figure out what common ground we have so we can talk with them about stuff that they'd be willing to talk about. Help us to trust that you are going to use us in your way and in your timing. Now bless our time, Lord, of response, where we have a chance in our minds, our hearts, to say, okay, God, here's how I feel like I need to respond. Bless it in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's give these guys a hand up here for jumping in. We were missing somebody today, but hey, they just jumped right in and let it out. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your many blessings. Help us to be those bridge builders all around, wherever we go. For Grace Point Church is not right here. It's wherever we are. And take us through this week, inviting people, reaching out, showing love, assisting those who are hurting. We love you. We thank you for the joy in the house of the Lord. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.